Welcome back, everyone, to Millwood and Micah, a Star Wars story. My name is Amanda Millwood, and I'm a screenwriter, actor, director, and a huge fan of Star Wars.
And my name's Todd Micah. I'm the author of the Grimguard book series, and we have never watched all the Star Wars movies in order with anyone until now. It feels so good to be back.
It does. We just did that in unison. Yeah, what's up, everybody? It's been a minute.
It has been a little while. It's been a little bit, and we are so happy to be back with our new series, A Star Wars Story. As you guessed it, Amanda and I are going through all of the Star Wars movies in order. We will be going through episodes 1 through 3. We are going to pause the saga, the numbered saga, so we can watch Solo and Rogue One, and then we will watch episodes 4 through 9. They give a little preview of the format also as well. The numbered movies are so big, just so much to talk about them. They are going to be broken into 2 episodes each, so we're going to have 2 podcast episodes for every numbered Star Wars movie, and then for Solo and Rogue One, since there's a little less to talk about with them, they will get 1 podcast episode each for those.
How very Hollywood of us, breaking things into 2 parts.
Maybe we should break them into trilogies, like Peter Jackson did with The Hobbit. God.
Please no. Watch that be the next thing that we cover, the Lord of the Rings Hobbit.
Oh my gosh, we should do that,
especially considering that by the time we get through this, like the Star Wars podcast, I will probably have visited New Zealand and been to the Hobbit set, so I could like geek out about it.
Speaking of that, in case you're wondering why Amanda's mic sounds a little different, it's because she's broadcasting from the other side of the planet right now.
Good day, mate. I'm in Australia. That's terrible. I can't do a better Australian accent than that.
Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what your experience in Australia has been like so far? Because you've had a journey since you were there. What's it like now that you've made that journey over? Because last time we talked to you, you were still stateside.
It's been wild. Like, good for the most part, I'd say, but definitely a wild journey. But I think that I've come to a place, I'm au pairing for anyone that doesn't know what that means. It basically means I'm an overseas nanny. So
you're Mary Poppins.
Yes. Yeah, an American Mary Poppins. And I live and work with the family in their home with their kids. And so I've been doing that since September of last year of 2023. And I just basically got not reassigned, but I rematched with a new family because the first one I was with did not work out. But this new family is great and I love them and I love their kids and all that. So it's been a much better time. I mean, I've only been with them for like less than a month, but it's been really great. And I'm with them until basically August of this year. So I've got, you know, 6 or 7 months. I'm bad at math, but
Miss World Traveler over there. So, and see, even 14,000 miles between us couldn't stop us from doing this podcast. So
literally we'll make it work.
We always do. So you know, while we're going to start on this series, Amanda, the very foundation of our friendship is basically Star Wars. That's how we got to know each other.
Mm-hmm. I remember it well. It was long ago, but it also doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
No, it wasn't a long, long time ago, but it certainly wasn't a galaxy far, far away.
So. Nice.
Yeah, come on, guys. You didn't miss the puns. You just missed us. But you know, you and I have a huge unifying fandom, niche part of the fandom that brought us together in the first place. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Why don't we talk a bit about ourselves as Star Wars fans? Because this is a franchise that you and I have spent hundreds and hundreds of hours by now talking about it. We've devoted more time and energy to Star Wars off the podcast than we ever did with Avatar during the podcast, if anybody can believe that.
Yep. I feel like in every episode of our Avatar podcast, we would always make references to Star Wars, or we would bring up that, by the way, this was an intentional reference to Star Wars, or yeah, character or whatever. And yeah, it's incredibly influential, not just to the media that we love, but to us, obviously. Like that, like you said, that's how we met. And yeah, it's such a weird thing being a Star Wars fan. Like, I don't
to know. Say the least, that's an understatement.
Yeah, Star Wars fans are the worst, let's be honest.
We're actually horrible.
We're actually garbage. But I think that I have found some incredible friends through Star Wars, not just you, but some other friends that I've made in the past couple of years since the sequel trilogy has come out. And Star Wars kind of was revitalized and then promptly killed again. So oh, God. We love that. We love to see it.
We love to see it.
We hate to see it, actually. And that's the funny thing. I was thinking about this literally today as I was prepping, you know, to talk to you about it. And I was like, do I actually, like, this sounds crazy since we're literally doing a podcast about it. But I was like, I only really love 4 Star Wars movies. That's it. But, like, they're some of the most influential movies in my life. So, like, I can't just discount, just be like, oh, well, I only like these 4. Like, but I don't like the rest. It's like, no, I really love these 4. And the rest I could leave or take, or sorry, take or leave. Mm-hmm. But, like, so I don't know how that works with me being a Star Wars fan. Like, I know everything about the movies and about, you know, the people that make the movies and all the history.
We know all about the Star Wars movies. Even the nature of the dark side, aka the Disney movies.
Oh, no. Don't go there. Don't be like that. Interesting.
But the Star Wars, you know, the Star Wars franchise, as you said, has. You know, it's gone through its phases. And I mean, for people who are watching or listening to this podcast, to both do honor to people who love the Star Wars movies and know the history of Star Wars, and also sort of bring people who aren't aware of the history of Star Wars and what it means to pop culture to kind of bring that forward, you know, just to talk about it for a second, you know, there are many, many documentaries about the splash that Star Wars made in pop culture in 1977. There's lots of documentaries about the making of Star Wars and what it was like for young filmmaker, you know, visionary filmmaker George Lucas to finally get his break, to be able to make the story that's been floating around in his head for so long. But one of the big emphases of Star Wars to pop culture is that in the 1970s, there was a lot of negativity, to say the least. There was a lot of political darkness and political scandal and corruption. You know, there was the Cold War, and the country was just 30 years out of the world wars. There was Hollywood was pumping out disaster movie after disaster movie. There was the Towering Inferno and Earthquake and pretty much anything that we're like, yep, the world is going to hell and let's just make movies about it. And there was no such thing as a real true like action adventure movie. There hadn't been since like the Errol Flynn swashbuckling days. And so, right. You know, because Hollywood went through all those eras and kind of there was that big heavy musical era in like the 50s and 60s. And when Star Wars came on the scene and George Lucas was expecting this dismal failure after everything he went through creating the movie, instead, Star Wars was this massive hit. It changed the world, changed entertainment, revolutionized the entire way that Hollywood created movies, where adventure action blockbusters became the new norm moving forward into the 80s, and brought forth all of the, you know, it created the model for all of those action adventure blockbusters that we know and love, the Indiana Jones movies, the Back to the Future films, you know, the Star Trek movies, all those things that took on this new format, you know, in the 80s and moving forward. And, you know, you're familiar with a lot of those franchises, you know, yourself, oh, yeah. You know, and you're, aren't you guys a big fan of Indiana Jones too in your house?
My dad, yes, absolutely. At least
I knew
the
somebody in your
original.
family loved it. Yeah.
Yes. I like the movies. I think they're great, but like I'm not an Indiana Jones fan, if that makes sense. Like
Yeah.
I'm much more of a Star Wars, you know, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings kind of girl, as opposed to like an Indiana Jones. I don't even know what other big franchises there are, but like, you know what I mean. It's just I think that I'm not the demographic for that, I guess. Like, I think that that is a perfect, not that, you know, obviously girls can't enjoy Indiana Jones. Like I said, I enjoy them, but in terms of being a fan, I feel like it's much more catered to men, and especially like a certain age group of men, and I just don't fit that, and so I never
Here's
quite connected with it like I do with Star Wars,
here's
where
here's the movies for boomers and Gen Xers who want to daydream about finding gold and punching Nazis and swinging on whips and adventuring across the desert in the Amazon, just being feral in general.
let's just say my version of Indiana Jones is The Mummy. Like that to me is a perfect like summer blockbuster movie. Like it's not taking things so seriously. It's more funny, goofy, like the older,
Right.
swashbuckling hero shows and movies.
Yeah.
To me, that's more akin to like the vibe that I like when it comes to those kind of adventure, treasure seeking, stories.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with the fact that, I'm obsessed with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz in that movie.
Oh,
It's
yeah,
nothing.
couldn't be, not in the slightest.
Not that Harrison Ford is anything to sneeze at. I actually think he's more handsome as Indiana Jones than her or I was gonna say as Harrison Ford than Han Solo.
We think he's more. I agree with you. I think he's more handsome as Indiana Jones than he is as Harrison Ford.
As himself.
Admittedly,
It's so funny. Yeah,
there's a
you're gonna
lot
get a
of.
lot of thirsting over these Star Wars actors and characters. Like, just get used to that.
Yeah, there's you thirsting over all the leading men, and me thirsting over like side and background characters.
I mean, that's totally valid.
Yeah, but on that same note, then circling back to why I'm bringing this up, movies like Harry Potter and movies like The Mummy, maybe it's a hot take, but it hasn't been for the last 50 years. The Star Wars movies paved the road for those
Oh, yeah,
because
absolutely.
those movies wouldn't even been made had the whole action adventure series been brought back to the movie theaters on that fateful day in May of 1977 when Star Wars flashed its title across the screens for the first time. Now,
Absolutely.
since then, the original trilogy came out, as it was followed by two sequels, and there was a big long sort of quiet era. The prequels were made in the 90s and early 2000s, and then with the purchase of Lucasfilm by Disney, as just like Disney purchased Marvel and started making all the superhero movies in the MCU, the latest Star Wars movie is episodes 7, 8, and 9, and Solo and Rogue One were made. And now, since we brought up, Star Wars in your family, for yourself, Amanda, what was your first Star Wars movie that you saw in theaters? And how did seeing Star Wars, like for yourself and also in your family, like what was that like for you growing up? Because there's a tiny age difference between me and you.
Just a little bit.
Just like, what, 13 years?
I don't even know. But yes, quite a gap. But yeah, so like my dad is a huge Star Wars fan. He saw Star Wars like in theaters, all of them, growing up, and then the prequels, and he hated them, of course, because everybody did at the time. It's funny how that we'll talk a lot about that and how the public opinion of those have completely done a 180. But he still does hate them. He still hates those movies. And he hates the sequel trilogy, but he saw all of those in theaters as well, including all the side movies.
Yeah, Amanda's
But
dad is going to be in a lot of these conversations in spirit.
yep, I really want him to actually come on, especially for The Last Jedi. He hates that movie with a burning passion, and it's hilarious. anyway, so yeah, I grew up because of him. I grew up watching the original Star Wars when I was very young, and I don't really remember, like, I know I watched them because, like, I watched them before I watched the prequels when they came out, in the late 90s and early 2000s. But I do actually, funnily enough, have a distinct memory of me at daycare one day, and I was, I don't know, maybe 4, 5 at the most. And my director of my daycare was a huge Star Wars fan. His entire office was decked out, and like I recognized everything. So again, I'd seen the movies by that point. And I remember that my parents were coming to pick me up one day, and we were watching Return of the Jedi, like on one of the movie theater screens that we had at my daycare. And it was the scene of Princess Leia in the slave bikini. And I was like, Dad, I just want to wait and see this scene. Like, I want to stay and watch this scene. Like, I don't know why I have a very clear memory of that, but like I do. So, take with that what you will.
I feel like this informs us all about a lot of things, none of which I feel like we should say out loud.
But to answer your general question of what the first movie I saw in theaters for Star Wars was, that was Revenge of the Sith in 2005. I was 7 years old, and it blew my fucking mind. Oh my God. Like, I had never been so hyped for a movie because, like, I had seen the trailer about a million times before watching the movie itself.
Right.
And that was the first thing that I remember getting so hyped for, like, movie-wise, because trailers weren't nearly a thing that they were now, where people are making reaction videos and all that. So I had watched that Revenge of the Sith trailer, and I still like to watch it. It's a pretty good trailer. And I was so genuinely hyped for the movie, and it was the first PG-13 movie I ever saw in theaters, and I went and saw it with my dad. And like I said, it blew my mind. I was absolutely in love with Anakin and Padme and Obi-Wan and just every character. Like, I just want to live in this world with these characters. And I was shocked by like how dark it was compared to the other. Even as a 7-year old, I could tell that this was much darker than the other Star Wars movies. And I don't know. It just kind of changed my whole world.
How often did you watch the other Star Wars movies in your house before you had seen Revenge of the Sith? Like, did you see them often? Was it like a once in a while thing?
Before Revenge of the Sith came out, I saw the original trilogy maybe a couple times each. Like, I knew the stories and I knew what happened in the movies and the characters and everything. It wasn't like, you know, I watched them every couple months.
In hindsight, you wouldn't have considered yourself a fan. They were just movies like any other movies you saw when you were a kid.
Yeah. They were like, oh, these are fun movies. Like, I wasn't a super fan. I think I was too young to really grasp the magnitude of those movies.
Right.
And then the prequels, I only saw the first and the second movie, you know, Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. I only saw that maybe once each because I saw it. My dad, I think, bought the DVDs when they came out. Wow, DVDs.
now you sound old.
Yes. And but he only bought them, I think, because they came together in a set, and he only wanted Phantom Menace for the Duel of the Fates scene. Because again, this was before the internet where you could just look up scenes. Like, sure, you had to actually buy the movie. So, that's the only reason that he bought those two, because they came together and he wanted to see Duel of the Fates. And so I ended up watching those, and like, he wouldn't let me, but he just kind of like didn't want me to watch the two. He wanted me to watch the originals. And I was like, okay. Once Revenge of the Sith came out, it's so funny because I remember being so confused because I was like, wait. That's like, I was thinking, even as a young kid, I understood that the original movies were older,
right?
And that these new ones were technically newer, but they were actually older than the original. So like, it was confusing. And I was like, wait, how is Padme Leia's mom if it was made now? I was so confused. I don't know why I was like so confused. I mean, I do because I was young, but like,
right, trying to separate like the characters are being born in your mind in the wrong order. So like, you know, how is this? How did this happen? So yeah,
how did this happen? What's smarter than this?
Apparently not.
Apparently not. So that's my young childhood growing up with Star Wars.
See, mine was similar but different because for me, so I was born in, because you were born in what year?
1998.
Yeah, you were born in 98. And I was born in May of 85. So again, slight difference. And I was born, so I have two older brothers and my mom and dad. My mom and dad were, I was born into a good Christian family home where, and there was no, swearing on the TV, no violence on the TV, there was no sex on the TV in our house, all of that, because our entertainment was clean. And that was a good thing, as far as I was concerned, and still am. I was glad my upbringing was like that. Nothing wrong with any other way, but I liked how it was, because one of the kind of things that made Star Wars exclusive for us then was it was a movie that my parents, number one, they liked it. They had seen it in theaters. My dad thought they were really cool. And my mom was like, yeah, okay, sure, Star Wars. But what made it appeal when my dad was like, well, let's have the kids watch Star Wars. I really like the Star Wars movies. And my mom was like, okay, there's no swearing in the movies. There's no sex in the movies. There's a little bit of violence here and there, but like it's fine. A little, a li like, I think Star Wars literally has like the one scene, there's actual blood in Star Wars is like the Cantina scene.
Right.
And
Or the
my
wall.
dad, yeah, well, even that scene didn't really have any blood in it until the special edition, because don't forget, this is the 1980s still. So
Right.
the Star Wars movies had just come out. And so we watched Star Wars a lot in my house because of that. I mean, I saw the entire Star Wars trilogy multiple times every single year. And whenever it was, oh gosh, what it was they did, New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I forget what it was, on cable, one of the cable channels would put the entire Star Wars trilogy on a marathon. We laugh now that like all three movies in a marathon, and now a Star Wars marathon is like a 3-day event,
Exactly.
But it used to be on a really regular basis. And on top of that, I had two older brothers who, by the time I was even born, there I like to joke that I was born into like this cradle that was made of Star Wars toys and Star Wars bed sheets and clothes and posters and stuff, because that's what we had. Our house looked like Stephen Sand Sweet's lounge. Like we had action Star Wars action figures, and I grew up with Star Wars bed sheets on my bed. Like I was brainwashed into being a Star Wars fan from birth. And so I saw the movies dozens and dozens and dozens of times long before I ever saw the prequels in theaters. Now, for me, I was really deep by that point, because you got to remember, if I was born in 85, I was 14 years old when The Phantom Menace came out.
Oh
Because
boy.
you were a baby. I was 14, and I was like,
I
Phantom
thought
Menace was
Phantom Menace was.
99.
Oh, I was thinking it was 97 for some reason. Again,
No,
bad enough.
that was the special edition. Special edition was 97.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes.
Years of academy training
I
wasted.
mean, you weren't alive in consciousness. You're not remembering it wrong from living it. What I was really deep into was the expanded universe. So by that point, I had played Star Wars games. I had Star Wars books. I had all kinds of stuff. The biggest thing I had, it was like the second Bible in my house for me, was the Star Wars Encyclopedia, which I believe actually, come to think of it, was actually, I just dropped his name, Stephen Sansweet. I think it's actually written by Stephen Sansweet, if I don't miss my guess. And it's all just an encyclopedia of names and places and creatures and ships from like the Star Wars canon at that time. I kept up with a lot of things, and when I was there wearing my Star Wars shirt with all my Star Wars toys around me, sitting on the ground at night reading my Star Wars encyclopedia, I remember it dawning on me and being like, I'm only sorry that there will never be a new Star Wars again for me to enjoy. I had this like existential crisis as a kid. And like 11, 12 years old, and I'm like, there will never be a Star Wars movie for me to actually see in theaters. I am doomed forever to be a fan of this franchise, and I will never get experience it in theaters ever.
You jinxed it.
I jinxed it, because then they were like, hey boy, we got a surprise for you. We're making new Star Wars movies. And I'm like, it was like my life's dream had been fulfilled. I was like, I get to watch new Star Wars movies. There was nobody in that theater more hyped for The Phantom Menace than me. Nobody.
That makes sense.
We had this all planned out, and you're seeing really strongly. So you're figuring out how my nostalgia goggles that I'm gonna be seeing The Phantom Menace through, like what they're constructed of.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it makes sense because given your ranking of the Star Wars movies, like. But I'm curious. Like, obviously, we can get more into it when we start with The Phantom Menace. But just as a little brief thing, were you upset by the negative reaction, since like you love the movie so much, like the immediate backlash from the fans and like being one of the only few people that actually liked the movie at the time?
Well, let me be perfectly transparent about it, and we will get more into this when we talk about the movie itself. I was not, how do I say this the right way? When I saw The Phantom Menace in theaters and it made its return, I saw my first Star Wars movie. I was overjoyed. And again, I was saturated with everything that defined Star Wars from the mid 80s to 1999. I was neck deep or ears deep. I was at the bottom of the ocean submerged in like Star Wars lore. Oh, I knew everything. And so like, when the movie came out, I, like everyone else, noticed ways that it was glaringly different from people's expectations. It was like, but I think two things. Number one, I just in general am more of a appreciate it for what it is and less of a criticize it for what it's not. Like, I'm a silver linings person. I look for the good in things. Even if I'm disappointed, I'm like, at least it was this. It could have been worse. It could have been that. That's just my general demeanor. So I think I wasn't like necessarily upset at people, but I was like, why do they have to be so harsh about it? Like, sure, it wasn't what they wanted. And like, I disliked a lot of the same things they disliked. I just paid way more attention to the things I loved in the movie. I guess when I watched the movie, I didn't destroy the things I hated. I saved the things I loved. So yeah. But the other thing too about it was, I think I had way more fair warning than most people did, because I, as part of my obsession as the new movie was going to be coming out, I actually was subscribed to the Star Wars Insider magazine. So every month I was reading behind the scenes interviews and reveals about, you know, who the characters were and the little tidbits about the movie's plot. So I kind of knew like 30% of what I was walking into in the first place. So like, not much threw me, because I kind of, similar to you, where you're like, I don't care about spoilers. Like, they don't really ruin the movie for me. I had a bunch of like quote unquote spoilers. I knew who the characters were. I knew their names already before I ever saw them on the screen. So like, none of it really jarred me out of the movie. Very, very subtle. It didn't jar me out of the movie.
I thought you were going to do that, but I went ahead and took it from you.
Yes. So yeah, no. So it wasn't as traumatic for me as it was for many Star Wars fans when the movies were, you know, the new movies in the 90s were dramatically different from their expectations.
Right.
Yeah. So then, like, you and I, our friendship came much later when the Disney Star Wars movies were going to be made, or they were coming out.
Yeah.
Because it was, and I always get this part wrong, it was right after The Last Jedi came out, right? When you and I started talking?
Yes, sort of. It was, I think it was April or May of 2018. So, because The Last Jedi came out in December of 2017. And this was kind of the thick of the hate for that movie, because like, it was, you know, the initial reactions were all quite positive, but then the more that people started making these YouTube videos and like getting just nitty gritty and problematic with the movie, like that's, I feel like 6 months into that movie being released was when like it was the shitstorm.
It was the worst. Well, because then standing in the middle of it all, purely ready to either be the people that said, no, the movie was great for this reason, but also ready to receive possibly the worst hate for their views was the Reylo fandom.
Hell yeah.
And for people, because I also want to acknowledge there may be people like in our first two seasons of our podcast who did not watch any of had not watched Avatar or Legend of Korra for the first time until they were following along with us. I want to make sure we also kind of aren't spoiling future movies for people who might be watching Star Wars for the first time and who want to marathon along with us. But yeah, the Reylo fandom was very, very controversial after The Last Jedi. They had begun to form, I think, in secret as sort of a subculture after The Force Awakens.
Yep. And yeah, it still persists to this day, even all these years later after the sequel trilogy ended.
Yes.
It's probably the only thing that survived the sequel trilogy.
It really is. It's the one enduring thing. And I think it's the one element of the Star Wars fandom that more than any other sub-community is fully in agreement with each other most of the time. We love the same things. We hated the same things. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. And that's why it was my favorite pocket of the Star Wars fandom at the time. It was the only place I felt safe with my opinions and my controversial hot takes.
Like, I know.
Shut up.
And it is here in that eye of the storm that our friendship was created. It is there that the Star Wars fans manipulated the midichlorians of our friendship to create life.
Yeah. It was crazy.
It was literally, yeah. I think it was you giving a hot take about Reylo in a discussion group about The Last Jedi, and then I was like, no, actually she's out of line, but she's right.
That's right. And I think that, like, because you were one of the few that, like, actually, like, were being positive or not even, like, just weren't being an asshole about it, like, I friended you, and then we kept talking through Messenger, and then I think you asked if, like, because we were getting so deep into conversation on Messenger, if, like, we could talk face-to-face, like what we do now for the podcast, and just, like, it's easier to talk that way.
Right.
And normally, I would have been like, hell no, I, like, hate talking to people that I don't know, like, on the phone or on camera. But for some reason, because we had gone so deep into conversation at that point, I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I was really in. And then we just kept doing that for years. Like,
yes.
Just doing weekly chats about Star Wars or movies that we were watching or shows or whatever, just catching up. It's just like, we never stopped.
Yes. We were just like, why is the Force connecting us like this?
Literally. Yeah, it was great at that time to have, like I said, I made so many great, very close friends through the Star Wars sequel trilogy, through Star Wars in general, but especially through the Reylo fandom, you being one of them, and there's many others that I could name. But, you know, it was really good to have that kind of support, because when you, at that time, like I said, if you liked anything Disney Star Wars, you were like, you had terrible taste.
You were a fake fan.
You're not a cool Star Wars fan. Like,
right.
And I'm like, you bitches are so hypocritical. You were hating and shitting on the prequels, and now suddenly they're the word of God. Like,
now they're the gold standard for Star Wars.
Literally. And I bet, like, it would be the funniest thing. God, please make this happen. It would be so funny. But if the same thing happens with the sequel trilogy in, like, you know, 10 plus, because it's already been, what, how many years since the last one came out?
Feels like 10, but
I know. Well, I can't even believe it. It's already been like 5 or however
many. It has been 5 years, yeah.
Yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday. But yeah, like in 10 years from now, when we get even more Star Wars movies, because we know that there are more coming,
right,
that they're looked back on more fondly, because this is how it always happens with Star Wars. Every single time. It's like history repeats itself. like a pattern, or sorry, it's a poetry, right?
Well, you knew,
and many of
the older Star Wars fans who were there at the time, who were, you know, adults who didn't just go to see the Star Wars movies, but read what the critics write, because there's plenty of people who don't, who are like completely oblivious. There's hate for the movies at all. They don't read online forums. They don't get into fan groups. They don't watch the YouTube videos of people, you know, criticizing things to death. There were plenty of people who were aware of critical opinions back in the day, and they remember things like, yeah, there were lots of people who did not like the Star Wars sequels in the original trilogy. There were movie critics who were like, The Empire Strikes Back is terrible. It's like packed full of special effects, and they try really ham-handedly to like deepen the story, and it's really dumb. And like, you know,
it's so dark and grim, and there's not a happy ending. And like, this isn't the Star Wars I know and love.
Not, now, hashtag it's
so critically acclaimed out of all of them.
1980 being like pound sign, not my Star Wars.
Literally. And then people being saying not the same thing, but like, you know, similar sentiments for Return of the Jedi. It's so derivative. It's just a new hope. Well, I guess it was Star Wars back then, but it's just Star Wars all over again. And like, it's so unoriginal. And who's this guy? He's actually his father. I don't think that that's true. He's definitely not. He's lying to him. He's manipulating him. Like, all this bullshit.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God. It's like, really?
There were angry fanboys in denial even back then. No, so I don't even doubt, I really don't even doubt that it will be that way, because the Star Wars fandom is going to move on. They're going to, you know, mature. New generations of Star Wars fans are going to see the movies for the first time, away from all of the present criticism of them, and won't be caught in the wave of it the way we were. And even then, there's tons of kids nowadays who were little when they watched the Star Wars movies, the new ones, I mean, the sequel trilogy, who now are like teenagers, and they have very fond memories of seeing it in the theaters. They are aware of the criticism. And like me, when I watched The Phantom Menace for the first time in the prequels, you know, I shared some sentiments of criticism. I had some of my own that other people didn't have, but overall, I liked them. I liked them for what they were. And it was because, see, in my experience, it wasn't that I didn't watch much of the old films, wasn't familiar with Star Wars, had nothing to compare it to, because I did. I was saturated. I was a sponge, soaked and completely saturated in all things Star Wars.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, because obviously toxic fanboy Star Wars culture is the worst and we're going to avoid that. But like, I also don't want to make it seem like these movies are beyond reproach, or that they're not, you know, the gold standard, because believe me, we're going to be having a lot of words about a lot of things that are wrong with these movies, because they are perfect. But especially since we're starting with my personal spoiler, least favorite Star Wars movie. So we're going to, right out the gate, I'm going to be mad.
Yes. So I would love, what I would love, I don't know if you have it ready and prepared, but I would love for us to go over our list of our rankings for the Star Wars films.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, I probably can do it from memory, at least the most of it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will go first. What I'd like to do is kind of break down the top five and like pause to kind of discuss our top five a little bit, and then like discuss what the rest are then, because we won't really discuss them in order. But right. Like, so my top five in order from number one to number five are Rogue One, The Phantom Menace, The Empire Strikes Back, The Last Jedi, and Attack of the Clones. And that I feel like is the top five. We already said this the other day when we discussed it briefly, was I feel like my top five makes people so mad on every level. Even if you liked The Phantom Menace, you're like, how did you put it higher than The Empire Strikes Back? Half of the Star Wars fandom would be like, why is The Last Jedi even there? And there's a big portion of the fandom would be like, how did you pick the worst two prequels to put in your top five?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
The only thing the majority of the fandom would be like is like, Rogue One is number one, Okay, he's not too far gone. That's a solid decision.
Right. Yeah, that is an interesting list. Gotta, I mean, I even knew it going in, but I still am kind of like, wow. Interesting. I'm
You're
so
like,
curious.
wow, I saw it coming a mile away.
Still shocked me. Yes. I don't know, but I mean, I'd say mine is like slightly more in line with, for the most part, with like general audience. I'm not talking about like the hardcore Star Wars fans, because if it's not the original trilogy, then you're wrong. So
Yeah,
that's
sure.
their mentality.
Yes.
But I feel like most original fans would be like Empire, Star Wars, Revenge, or sorry, not Revenge, Return of Jedi, everything else. So I'm like, whatever.
Pretty much your average vanilla Star Wars fan's rank for this is, in fact, I'm like sure of it, is like Empire Strikes Back, they won't even call it A New Hope. Those say Star Wars or the original Star Wars. And then they'll say probably Return of the Jedi, just like you said. And then they'll say Revenge of the Sith because it was the best prequel. And then they'll
Right.
say, and then they'll say Rogue One because it was the only good Star Wars, Disney Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be about right, because that's pretty much my guess. Oh my God, that would literally be his
Amanda's dad, I hope your
ranking.
ears are ringing right. Your dad is
So sad.
feeling a disturbance in the force right now.
Oh man, your judging daughter judging your ranking. Oh man, yeah,
Right, so what's
I'll have to
so
message him and ask him if that is his order, and to get back to you, because I'm like 1,000% sure that that is.
that's
I might
hysterical.
switch Revenge of the Sith with Rogue One, because I think he actually likes Rogue One more than Revenge of the Sith. But
Okay.
he always says it's like the only good prequel, Revenge of the Sith. And I'm like, okay. And
I
even then, he
told
doesn't really like it.
I told you. Okay. All right. So where's Amanda's hot take? Come on. Give me from 1 to 5, what are your top 5 favorites?
Okay. Hear me out.
Oh boy.
I mean, you know what my favorite is. My favorite Star Wars movie is The Force Awakens. And
Yeah.
this is my hot take. It's better than, and not just like in general, but like I think it is a more improved version of the original Star Wars, of A New Hope. And that, again, that is a very, very piping hot take, but
Okay, well
that is
now
what
that
it is.
we've lost 90% of our listeners, what's 2 through 4?
Yep.
2 through 5, excuse me.
Whoever left after the Reylo comments, they're still here and now they're gone. But yes, so Force Awakens number one. Number two, Revenge of the Sith. Again, it is like an incredibly influential movie in my life, and it was a huge deal when I first watched it, and I still love it. It is a very flawed movie, but damn, do I love it. That's my rose tint glasses. Number three, probably Empire. I don't have the like nostalgic attachment to that movie. I just think it's a really well done movie. It's definitely the most rewatchable of the original trilogy for me. So number three. Number four, Rogue One. Rogue One, definitely. I think that Disney, like, totally, it's not perfect again, but I think they knocked it out of the park in terms of the aesthetic and the direction and everything is really good. I like that they went in a bold, different take with that. And then, oh, this is the hard one. Number five. I don't know. I want to say, I'll probably say Return of the Jedi, because again, I actually like that movie. I've rewatched that movie more than the original Star Wars. And I just find it more fun. It's like bigger, more action. I love the obviously dramatic stakes when it comes to Anakin and Luke, and you know, the revelation of Princess Leia being his sister, even though it's pulled out of nowhere. Like, I really love the scene where it's revealed. And I just love the direction, and the special effects look great and all that. So it's a really fun movie. It's a great popcorn movie. So I think that would probably be my list. Force
Got it.
Awakens,
And
Revenge of the
so,
Sith. Yeah, Empire Strikes Back, Rogue One, Return of the Jedi.
So then I think the rest of our hot takes is going to be what's at the bottom of our lists. Because for me, the other ones in order are The Force Awakens 6, so right behind all the others, almost made the top 5. Then Solo. I really, really enjoy Solo.
So it's grown on me over the years, not gonna lie. Like, I really didn't care for it when it first came out, but
it's grown on everybody. I think it's the Star Wars movie everybody forgot because it was released in the shadow of the Last Jedi's controversy and hate. And then, like, people only recently, this year, I've been seeing a lot of fans, like, making references to it or sharing screenshots or, like, memes. Or they're like, this part was actually really good. How did we sleep on this movie? And we're like, oh, yeah, we were all in a blind rage back then. And then Revenge of the Sith. And bear in mind, we are, like, out of 11 films, we're down to number 8. Number 8 for me is Revenge of the Sith. And for clarification, I'm not saying that I hate these movies that are in the bottom 4. They're just all the other ones are better. And then number 9 is A New Hope. We've really lost our entire audience now.
We are not New Hope stands, guys.
And then number 10, Return of the Jedi. So it is the second to lowest ranked for me. And for me, I want to, since you took a second to kind of justify your top 5, let me justify my bottom 3, because the number 11 is The Rise of Skywalker, and that doesn't require any explanation. So New Hope, why does the original Star Wars rank so low for us? Hey, Solo. Not the first time I'll make that joke. A New Hope, I feel like it's not that it's bad in any way, shape, or form. It's not that it's, like, been left behind. It's not that it's just, oh, it's really old and we've seen it so many times. But I feel like there is a little bit of truth to that. You know, A New Hope was shot in a very experimental way because it wasn't the action adventure format hadn't been quite perfected yet. George Lucas was a very young filmmaker. When he did A New Hope, it was shot mostly as sort of documentary style. And the fact that documentary style films are kind of slow and quiet paced, and they're not very, like, visually flashy a lot of the time. There's a lot of quiet, subtle storytelling and good storytelling. I mean, Star Wars, the original Star Wars, still gets put in front of film students who have never seen it for the first time, who are quote-unquote spoiled on, like, modern action movies and the stuff that rots our brains these days. And they still sit mesmerized watching Star Wars, and they're like, that is one of the best movies I've ever seen, like, to this day. But we're ranking the Star Wars movies against each other. Are the other Star Wars movies, by comparison, are they faster? Are they more impressive? Is the storytelling more dynamic? Are the stories just overall deeper because they are building on top of the foundation of A New Hope, whereas A New Hope just kind of floats out there? It is the foundation. The other movies are just able to be more dynamic. And is the quality of the filmmaking and the production just plainly better since the other movies knew what they were doing with the special effects? It wasn't experimental. The production value was just higher and the special effects are better. Also, yeah.
Yeah, it's something that I never really realized until I did my most recent rewatch, like last year of all the movies. But, like, I would say that in the Skywalker saga, I should say that A New Hope or Star Wars is the only real standalone movie. Like, I mean, it was meant to be. They didn't think it was going to be this giant, you know, success. But it really, and I think that maybe that's why I don't connect with it as much as I do the others, which are so intertwined with each other. You know, they feel like fleshed out, well, most of the time, fleshed out stories that, you know, we'll get to that. But, you know, for A New Hope, it really, you could watch that one movie and you'll get a satisfying experience just by watching that one movie, you know, and it's very different from, say, Empire Strikes Back, the next movie, where it's not really it's satisfying in the sense that it's a good movie, but it's not a satisfying ending in the sense that you could stop watching it after the movie's done and you get a full story, you know, there's a continuation with Return of the Jedi. Same with, you know, the prequels. The prequels are pretty interlinked. Same with the sequel trilogy, except for Rise of Skywalker.
I love all this foreshadowed hatred of The Rise of Skywalker that people were gonna have to wait through like 20 or more episodes of this podcast to get there.
Oh boy, when we do get there, it's gonna be fun.
When we get there, we will be at the final episode and we will say, at last we will reveal all the hate we have for The Rise of Skywalker. At last we will have revenge.
Yes. So, yeah, anyway, sorry. Continue with your reasoning for your list, or if that was it.
Oh yeah, no. And while many people, in fact, I think the one of the only big disagreements there are in original Star Wars or original trilogy fans among them is Empire Strikes Back really the best Star Wars film, as many people do, or is Return of the Jedi better? And they're like, oh, it's action packed. It has more action than Empire Strikes Back did. It has the Emperor in it. There's the big finale that was supposed to end supposedly the saga there. And so lots of people like it better. It's a very fun action packed movie. I myself always feel like Return of the Jedi falls short of The Empire Strikes Back and falls short of a bunch of other Star Wars movies because I feel like it is so heavy on the action that because they're wrapping up storylines and not expanding them, I always feel like the plot of Return of the Jedi is like super simple. Like Saturday morning cartoon simple. Like we two essentially two things happen in the entire movie just over the course of 2.5 hours. And which is fine. It makes it extremely fun, extremely simple. Again, they're wrapping up storylines instead of complicating them. But like for me, and there's like this really long dead time in the middle of the movie where things like really slow down before we get to the ending. And I just never really cared for it. I like a lot of things in the movie, but I've always found it hard to sit from the beginning to the ending of Return of the Jedi. And Rise of Skywalker is
Interesting.
just garbage, so that's why it's at the bottom for me. How about you? What's your what's the rest of your list? What's your six through four? Six through four, excuse me, math? Star Wars fan math? What's your 6 through 11?
So, oh gosh, where did I leave off? Return of the Jedi. Probably A New Hope would be next. That would be my number six because it is a really good and one of the most influential, if not the most influential movie of all time. It's just kind of exactly what you said for Return of the Jedi. It's almost too simple for me. Like it's great when it was much, bleh, what am I saying? I feel like I was way more into it as a kid because it was so simple and because it was super easy to follow hero's journey, princess, scoundrel, you know. These are very common archetypes that kids understand. And I mean, George Lucas himself has said a million times, it's meant for kids. And I think that's true. So I think that I overall value and enter or not value, but I should say I was more entertained as a kid by the movie. I appreciate it now as a staple of film and special effects and all that fun stuff. But as a movie, it's not one that I'd want to put on just by itself unless I was doing a marathon, just because, again, it's just so simple. And then after that, probably Last Jedi. Yeah, Last Jedi. And this is not just because it's on the lower rung of my list, that does not mean that I think it is a bad movie. It is a very flawed movie, but it has some of the best in Star Wars and some of the worst. So it's a very mixed bag movie for me. I lean much more towards positive for it, just because, again, I think the stuff that works in the movie is brilliant and I just absolutely love it.
Similar to the way I talk about Return of the Jedi, like there's a lot of things I dislike about it, but the things that are good are extremely good.
So like don't take that as it being on my lower rung as I hate the movie and I'm one of those, fanboys about The Last Jedi. I'm not. I really like the movie. I just think that it could have been the best Star Wars movie. And that's the sad thing. I can see the potential, but it did not quite reach that potential in my eyes. But we'll get to that later. That's going to be a long one. So after that, I would say Solo. Solo, maybe?
And
Because
now
again,
we
I.
and then at the bottom rung we have like your shut hand you can shuffle of like the episodes 1 and 2 and 9.
Well, okay. So. I'll say Solo for my next one, because like I said, I didn't really care for it when it first came out, but I have started to come around to it, It is the ugliest Star Wars movie. I will say that. Like, Jesus, that movie is so ugly. That
It's
is honestly 90% of why I don't like it. It's so ugly.
and reminding everybody, because we didn't have to bring this up at all during Avatar, but Amanda does not do well with movies that are sepia tone. Like, if there's not vibrant color, like any given movie loses 2 stars off its rating just for not being colorful.
Just for aesthetic. Yeah,
Yes.
because the aesthetic of Solo is not it. Not a fan. But I really actually love the characters, like the main characters, I should say.
Yeah.
I really like wow, why am I Alden Ehrenreich? There we go. I was gonna say Ansel Elgort. I really love Alden Ehrenreich as young Han Solo. I love Kira. Emilia Clarke is a goddess. I like Woody Harrelson. I obviously love Chewbacca and Lando. And like, I think that there is a lot of potential for this to be a really fun movie. And I need to see. I feel like it'd be much higher if it was done by Chris and Lord, or sorry, Phil and Lord. I think
Lord
Lord
Miller.
and Yes, Lord and Miller. There we go. I was like, Chris Miller, Phil Lord. There we go.
Yes.
Because they were originally supposed to do it, and I feel like because I love their work, Lego Movie is a gem. I love that movie, and I wanted to see that kind of humor brought into Star Wars. It would have been so funny, and I can't remember if they dropped out or if they quit or if they were fired. But like,
Okay. We'll get into that when we get to Solo. Give us the spicy stuff. Where's that bottom three?
okay, but. Attack of the Clones is number three. I think it's far better than Phantom Menace, and obviously Revenge of the Sith is way up higher, but I think it's so much more fun. It's absurd. It's got so much memeability, but it's also trash. Like, especially the last act. The last act is awful, but I love the first two acts, genuinely. And so, yeah, that would definitely be number three. Number two, Rise of Skywalker. The only reason I'm not putting it number one is because at least it has characters that I love, and like
There's
there
affection
is
for
stuff.
them, yes.
Yeah, there's the attachment to Rey and Kylo, and those are my two favorite Star Wars characters. So
Right.
at least they're in it and they're done well, and all that. But yeah, boy. Movie kind of broke me, broke me.
Which
And
means you're
then
number one. Da da da
is
da
Menace the worst? And this is the only movie that I like actually don't like I have an ironic like of The Rise of Skywalker because it's so trashy, but again, I still have that t attachment to the characters. But like Phantom Menace, I'm like, why was this movie made? This is so bad. Like, I
See,
genuinely don't like it.
and then there's me, and I feel about The Rise of Skywalker probably even worse vitriol than you feel about The Phantom Menace, because I'm not even like, why was this movie made? I don't watch it. Most of the time, I refer to the trip to the Star Wars saga as episodes 1 through 8.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, if we're talking about like I hate The Rise of Skywalker with a burning passion. I know this, but I would much rather feel that kind of hate for a
Then
movie
feel nothing.
word and nothing. And that's all that freaking Phantom Menace is to me. It's nothing. Why is this here? Like, at least there was a point to The Rise of Skywalker. There was trying to be a point, and they just butchered it horrendously. But Phantom Menace, you could cut the entire movie and you miss nothing. It's like, oh my God. And I know there are going to be people that are like, actually, you miss out on Anakin's slave roots. Like, mother,
Well,
you could do that in Attack of the Clones. Like, you could do that. But.
that's going to be such a fun discussion. I'm really looking forward to that because that is the first movie. So let's talk a little bit about what our plan is for this. So as we mentioned briefly at the start of the podcast, because we kind of came to this realization the other day, I couldn't possibly start our podcast without some excuse to say I haven't blah 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 until now. Couldn't
Oh,
possibly
yeah.
leave the fans in the lurch that way. So I'm like, what haven't we done? Well, have we watched through all of Star Wars? I'm like, well, I have. But then when I asked you about it, much to my surprise, you haven't watched through the entire Star Wars saga all the movies in order with any one person before.
Yeah, and when we say in order, we mean in order chronologically, not when they were released.
Yes, not release order, but like canon chronological order.
Yeah, never have. I always watch them out of order, or like, I'll be like, wow, I want to watch Rogue One. Man, now that really makes me want to watch, the original series. But now I kind of want to watch the sequel. Like, I never do it in order.
Though there's always kind of a reason to skip even, because you're just by yourself, you know what I mean? If you hit it across one and you don't want to acknowledge that it exists, Rise of Skywalker, you don't have to watch it, you know? You know? So that's our plan. So we are going to be starting off Millwood and Micah, a Star Wars story officially, with, the first movie review in our next episode. Amanda and I are going to have, we are going to have one of the best discussions. I just know it. As here's a movie that's my number two favorite Star Wars film, and it is Amanda's bottom ranked number 11 out of
Bottom of the
11,
barrel.
yes, bottom of the barrel movie. My goal, everyone, is to prove at least one thing that I love about the movie and get Amanda to utter the words, "Okay, I see that." I don't even want her to agree. I just want her to see it. Because there's Amanda, you and I were talking the other day about it. You just plainly like don't even understand. You're just like, all the fans like X or Y or Z about the movie. I just don't see it. I don't get it.
Right. Yeah, I mean it's true. I don't, but I'm open to being to seeing the light for the fans of it.
So we, yes, so we'll see if we can bring Amanda back from the dark side, everyone. We'll see if we can pull her back. And I can, I look at her already. I can feel the hate swelling in you now.
Oh, didn't even mention. So while Force Awakens is my favorite of the all the Star Wars movies, my actual favorite bit of Star Wars media, period, is the Robot Chicken Star Wars special. I'm not even joking. I think that is peak Star Wars shit. I love it. Go watch it if you have not. It's incredible.
This is our bonus material, honorable mentions of things that are like, I mean, these things may or may not be canon, but we won't be going over them.
Ignore in my
They,
heart.
yes. Incidentally, you know what I always loved growing up, and I feel like we'll talk about this more when we get to Return of the Jedi. I always loved the Ewok adventure movies. There were two of them that were made immediately after Return of the Jedi, and they were the first Ewok movie was called The Caravan of Courage, and the second one was The Battle for Endor, and it actually starred Wilford Brimley in it as well.
I have heard of these movies. I have never watched them.
While we will not be covering during this, because I had tons and tons of questions, and you and I had months trying to sort this out before we finally decided on the schedule we are going to do, I tried to convince Amanda to go and review all the Star Wars shows, at least the live action shows that go between the movies. She was like, absolutely not.
Sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. Like, we'll give you our brief thoughts about them when we come up to that
We'll
time
pro
period.
we'll probably make references to them for sure.
Yes, but I'm not sitting through Book of Boba Fett or The Mandalorian or Ahsoka or
Or
any
her,
of that.
yeah,
I
her
can't
clap.
do it.
And, well, her clap back on me was, well, if you're going to do that, I guess we should also have you watch all of Clone Wars and Rebels again. And especially when I heard Star Wars Rebels, my response was, I think word for word, have you been sniffing glue? Absolutely not.
That might be your least favorite Star Wars thing out of all of it.
Yeah, my hot take was that I enjoyed Star Wars Resistance more than Star Wars Rebels. So come for me. Come get me.
Our opinions are trash. You can log off now.
Well, and this is, I think, one of, I think this is probably the best thought to really end on. our opinions on what we give, because Star Wars is a very, very, very opinionated fan base. It's a very polarized fan base in many ways. And really, the I think something I want to say to kind of follow all of both our venting and like disclaimers about Star Wars hate or angry fanboys in any way we say it is, everybody's view of the Star Wars movies as a fan has validity to it. There is no right or wrong. You're allowed to like whatever part of the Star Wars movies that you like, except for The Rise of Skywalker. And like but you're allowed to hold your own point of view. One of the very values that we want to uphold as Star Wars fan is what Obi-Wan Kenobi says, that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view. And that is very true. You know, Amanda, please stay friends with me even after the next episode. And but the whole point is we are allowed to hold our own opinions. Star Wars was made to resonate with us on so many levels. The Star Wars saga as a whole honors Joseph Campbell's model of the heroic journey, the hero with a thousand faces, the model of mythic storytelling about good and evil, of redemption and darkness, all of those things that have been around and themes you can trace as far back as Arthurian legends and even the Greek myths. And those things were all influences on George Lucas. And as just as part of the podcast, I think it's fair to say thank you, George, for making the films, for pulling in all the influences, both from mythology and movie making, and even the Flash Gordon, you know, drama that you enjoyed back when you were young, that came together to make Star Wars, and for everybody that since then has helped make Star Wars what it is today. Because without that, we wouldn't have this podcast, and Amanda, you and I would probably not even know each other.
Right? That's wild. Well said.
World without Star Wars, I wouldn't want to be in it.
Nope.
Me neither. So with that, we want to thank everybody for joining us on our new podcast journey, Millwood and Micah, a Star Wars story. This is our third season. Thank you, everybody who has followed us up to this point. And what is there left to say? But this is where the fun begins.
That's all for today. To all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. So feel free to leave a review or comment, follow the podcast, give us a good rating and all that good stuff.
You can find us on Instagram at Millwood and Micah Podcast. And don't forget that our sweet podcast merch is available on TeePublic. Thanks again, and we'll be back in the next episode.